I'd like you to turn to Galatians chapter 1 and just consider the first few verses of Paul's letter to the saints of God who dwelt in Galatia. Galatians 1 verse 1. Paul, an apostle not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me. To the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So I will leave it there. Here we have an introduction to this great letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians. And first of all, he spells out his own authority. He's not writing to them or teaching them because he fancied it, or because somebody else laid hands upon him. But rather, he is, number one, an apostle. So he has met the resurrected Lord, and it was Christ who commissioned him to do what he is doing. Now, we know that elsewhere, for example, at Corinth, but also in Galatia, there are self-appointed people who are criticising Paul's authority, and he's making it very clear from the start. I'm an apostle because Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Christ from the dead, have made him so. And that will outline his authority for the rest of the letter. And then he goes on in verse 3, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Good stuff, but a fairly standard greeting. But straight away he goes into the gospel, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us. There are problems in Galatia. There are problems in any church, of course. There are serious problems in Galatia. But at the very outset, Paul makes clear the gospel, that he gave himself because of our sin. And it's so important, says Paul, effectively, to remind ourselves of that before I even begin to tackle some of the other issues going on at Corinth. May the gospel be first and foremost. But then we have this very interesting clause, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, what does it mean that he might deliver us from this present evil age? Well, one question we might ask is, are we part of the same age? How long does an age last, you might say? Now, I remember being at school and learning the various kings and queens, and the Tudor age ended at a particular year, and the Plantagenet age ended, and the Bronze Age and the Iron Age and all that kind of stuff. And of course, we might look back at the first century when Paul was writing and say, well, that was a different age. That was the ancient world. We are modern people. You know, they wore different clothes, and they wore togas. We don't. We wear trousers. But actually, we are part of the same age. What characterised their age? Mass rebellion against God and rejection of God's truth. You know what? That sounds quite familiar. It sounds rather much like our own age. And in fact, he says that present age is evil. Now, are we living in an evil age? There are some things in our age which perhaps we get right. People are perhaps better treated, at least those who manage to be born. They are quite well treated. We've got rights and we've got protections. We're allowed to vote. We're allowed to have a say in who runs the country, kind of. People in the first century didn't have that. Certainly in Britain, not the rest of the world, I hasten to add, but few of us starve. Some of us have got the opposite problem. Food is rather plentiful. So could we say, well, their age was evil, but our age is actually quite good? Well, no, because evil is that which sets itself up against God and his truth. We might be wealthier, the fashions might be more convivial, but our age is just as evil. There are many people in Britain and elsewhere who worship idols, and they may be literal statues of wood and stone, and nowadays plastic, or it might just be the evil of materialism, which is as great an idol as any manufactured in some ancient workshop. So we are living in an evil age. If you were to follow the wisdom of the world or the wisdom of the influences or the prevailing voices, you would be blinded to the things of God. We are a minority, always have been, I suspect, until the great day of the Lord, always will be. And yet we're told that he might deliver us from this present evil age. How are we delivered from the evil age of which we are part? Well, when you become a Christian, you are put on a different path. Broad is the road to destruction, narrow the way to life. It might be narrow, sometimes it's steep, sometimes underfoot it's rather rough, but we're on it. And it might be narrow, but it's not so narrow that it can't accommodate you. And in one respect, being a Christian and following the gospel takes us out of this evil age. Not physically, but our values we don't get from the world. Our opinions ought not to be derived from worldly values, because our mind is being renewed, our mind is being transformed. In that respect, we are being delivered from this evil age. The evil age in which we live, the evil culture of which we are a part, should not be infiltrating our church, neither should it be infiltrating our hearts, because we are being delivered from it. Another sense in which we're being delivered is that the Lord is, one by one, calling us home. There is a graveyard, not very far from where we are sitting tonight. I can't vouch for the soul of everybody who entered that graveyard. I haven't met most of them. But one day, and I, the older I get, the more I look forward to it. And I know some of you join me. I look forward to the time when I'm going to be totally and utterly delivered from this evil age. And I enter the eternal realms, and I go and stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, where there is no evil, no iniquity, no rebellion. But there is also a deliverance from this present evil age, that one day God is going to conclude it and tie it up and throw it away. He is going to come back. The Bible sometimes calls it the day of the Lord. And I'm looking forward to the day of the Lord. When I became a Christian, it was, I guess, a kind of day of the Lord. But there is an even greater day of the Lord coming. It will be a day of fire. It will be a day of judgment. But for the believer, it will be a wonderful homecoming, when we will be utterly delivered from this present evil age. And why is it important that we be delivered from it? Because it is the will of God our Father. The present evil age is dark and it's full of death. And it's the will of God that people leave it. Now, of course, physically, we are still here. We're still part of this world, and the world continues in its obnoxious rebellion against God. But in one sense, we have already been delivered from it. The more he sanctifies us in our heart, the more the Spirit is at work in our heart, the more we are being delivered from this evil age. So I'm looking forward to that time when either he returns or he calls me home, when I'm ultimately delivered from this evil age. I know I've mentioned it a few times before, but in 1913, a preacher in this chapel died in the pulpit. And I imagine people, were quite upset, and they were praying that the Lord might spare him. Well, I'm of the opinion now that if that happens to me, don't pray, please. Don't even call the ambulance, I'm sure you will. But don't even bother, because if that's my time, that's my time. And I am looking forward to being delivered from this evil age. However, that is not the end of Paul's letter. There are a whole load of issues going on in Galatia, which, though we are being delivered, and we are going to be delivered, they still need to be addressed. So though we look forward to the age to come, I'm afraid there's work to be done here. And that is why, I guess, we are part of a church. We are part of a community. And when we share the gospel with people, and when we ourselves try and live for the gospel and live for Christ, we are perhaps helping to deliver others from this evil age as well. We're going to pray very soon and bring our petitions to the throne room of grace. And many of those petitions, perhaps, see them as God intervening in our evil age. That some might be rescued and he might be glorified even in this life. Job, you know, sat on a dunghill. Yet God was glorified where he was. And we are sitting on a huge spiritual dunghill. And it will be our prayer shortly that, of course, God will be glorified. Not just in the next world, that's guaranteed, but right here in this present evil age. Amen. Amen. Amen.